You know, when I get married, when this happens. No, the thing is right now you're living with diamonds in your backyard, regardless of what you do or don't have. But the enemy loves to lie to you. As I said, he likes to lie to you. He wants to tell you you're missing something. You're missing something. You don't need to spend your time in church. The fun is out there. You don't need to be in church. You need to go find a job out there. You need to go find success out there. You need to go with that relationship outside of the church. You know what? And then you'd go follow that just to end up more lonely and broken than when you started. But see, I'm sure you've heard that saying, you know, the grass is greener, you know. Maybe the grass is greener on the other side because the septic tank broke. You know? Not always what you see is what's going on. We constantly think that what somebody else has got is better. Their relationship is better. Their job is better. That church is better. And what happens is we're constantly comparing our lives. I mean, social media has made that like your favorite pastime. I mean, all they do is compare. But you see, the thing is, comparison is the cancer to contentment. Comparison is the cancer to contentment. It will steal your joy. But you see, this is the enemy's like number one tool. It's what got him kicked out of heaven. He compared himself to God Almighty, compared himself to the glory of God, and guess what? Got him kicked out of heaven. But he does that to you. He stirs that up in you because he knows it'll steal the joy if you will just look to your right, look to your left, and keep comparing. Return to James 3, verse 16, if you have your Bible or on your phone. James chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, "For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find confusion and evil of every kind. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find confusion and evil of every kind." Notice it says confusion. Do you realize that confusion is from the enemy? Do you know that confusion is not of God? So if you're feeling confused, if you're feeling serious confliction, if you're dealing with that, it's not of God. It's of the enemy. You know, I talk and I counsel with a lot of people. And what I've found is that when I'm dealing with somebody who's feeling like they've got a lot of confusion in their life, they're not sure, they don't know what's going on, all these different things, what I find is at the root of it is they've been comparing themselves. At the root, when I get to the root of it, it's all, well, you know, I just don't understand why I'm not further in my walk with God like that person is. Well, I just don't understand why they're getting pregnant and I'm not. Why I don't understand why they've got that good job and I didn't get a promotion. At the root of it is when you start comparing yourself. The other thing it says is that it's evil of every kind, jealousy. Jealousy is an evil of every kind. You know why? Because jealousy literally turns your vision green. You can't see anything else except for what you don't have. Your focus becomes so strongly on what you don't have that you can't actually even live happily in the moment because you're so focused on what's over there. You're so focused on what they have, you don't enjoy what you have and you can't give what you've got. Because you're just thinking, oh, I should have that. I should have been there. But jealousy in God's eyes means ungratefulness. If you're jealous, you're ungrateful. And I do not want to be ungrateful in God's eyes because I'm breathing today. That's one thing to be grateful for. If you woke up breathing, you can be thankful for something, you know? Thankfulness will get your eyes off the jealousy that you're dealing with. And if it's something you keep recurring, take it to God and say, you know what, God, what is going on with me? Why am I jealous of this person? You know, like, help me, Holy Spirit. Be honest with the Holy Spirit and say, I have no idea what is going on with me, but help me with this. If you're honest, God will meet you where you are if you're honest. He's not going to meet you where you fake to be at. He already knows what you're thinking and what you just be honest with him. Explain, hey, God, I'm dealing with this. Because comparison is the number one destroyer of destiny. See, God's got a plan for your life, but while you're so focused on someone else's life, you're missing out what he's got for you. You're missing out what's in front of you. See, now, a lot of times you go through stuff in your life and it's going to be your choice how you deal with it. A lot of stuff happens, and I'm telling you, a lot of stuff's happened in my life where I could have decided to live with shame and guilt and live there and be like, well, you know, I don't know. I can never, God can't use me. I don't want to help anybody. But you know, what I found in my life is so many times I talk and counsel with people and I'll tell them a little bit about something that's happened, and it helps them so much in their situation. It might not even be the same situation, but when they hear that, wow, God restored you, God helped you, God healed you, God forgave you, then I have hope. But see, if I stayed in that situation and just going, well, you know, why didn't I have a successful time like they did? Why did I have to go through all these hurts? Why did I have to get my heart broken so many times? Why did I have to, if I live in that comparison, guess what? All these people around me that I was supposed to help, I just walked right by them. And the thing is, God's made you exactly like you are with your unique personality, your traits, your characteristic, your strengths, your weaknesses, and everything you've gone through to help somebody around you. You're not supposed to live as an island. You're supposed to help people. And guess what? Those people might not have been helped if I didn't open my eyes and see. And what happens is when you realize, you know what? Yeah, I've been through a lot. But you know what? Thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy and your goodness and for healing me. And I'm just going to tell this person, hey, this is what I did. I'm not perfect, but this is what God can do. Now people are strengthened. But see, if you live in comparison all the time, comparing yourself to what you didn't do or why your life doesn't look like that, you're going to miss the people you're supposed to help. You know, I also believe that God protects us in such a unique way, because people always look at our giftings and our callings and you might think, well, you know, it would have been so great if I could have got what that person had. I would love to be able to sing. Okay. If for no other reason than because it would sound better in my own ears. But I mean, I love singing. Singing does not love me. Okay. I look at the singers. I'm like, God, why didn't you give me that voice? You know, but I think God gave you certain gifts and talents, because I have a little theory. Maybe if he'd given you somebody else's gifts and talents, it would have destroyed you. My brother, Hayne, if you don't know him, he's in the back there and running the PowerPoint. Most people don't know I have a brother. I'm kidding. Just kidding, Hayne. He's older, by the way. My brother is a handyman, okay? He can literally take apart anything. If it breaks, he can fix it. If I break something, it's going in the trash. That's just the end of it. Yeah. But he literally, when he bought his house, he took it down to like, what is it called? The studs? Yeah. And then rebuilt it. Oh, beautiful. Yep. Me? That has not happened to me. I cannot do that. So just imagine for a moment how silly would it be if I stopped what I was doing and decided I am going to become a handyman as my profession. How long would it take before I was living in my car, broke, all while yelling at God for not helping me? How many people do that, though? And you're yelling at God, why aren't you prospering me? He's like, because you're in the wrong place. You're not a handyman. You know that. The thing is, it would be such a clear violation of knowing who I am and what my gifts and callings are, right? To be like, go and do that. But people do it. Because they think, well, wow, he's making so much money doing that. I should do that. I'm sure I can, like, nail a nail into whatever. No. And you think I'm joking, but that is really, like, how it works. But don't worry. I married somebody now who can do it all, too. And he doesn't let me throw anything away anymore. But, you know, people think that more money, more fame, all of this will make you happier. Well, if I had more money, I'll be happier. If I had money and fame, I'd be happier. Have you seen Hollywood? Okay, the depression, the suicides, the unhappiness, they are not more happy. Because what happens is not everybody has the character to stand through the temptations that come from fame. Not everybody has the strength within them to withstand the criticism that comes. I mean, it's so funny. It's like I'll post my sermon on Facebook, and a lot of times people will write nice things, but I have a public Facebook, so people from all over the world watch, and you'd be surprised what some of these people from the other parts of the world write. about their God and my God and just ripping what I say or talking about a woman preacher, you should be surprised what comes. But it's that strength of character that says, well, I don't know, God's called me, so whatever. I'm just going to do what he tells me to do, you know. But the thing is, there's a lot of things that happen that when you want more of something, especially if it's something like that. Now, you know me, I'm all for God wants you to prosper and he wants you to have more and he wants you to increase so you can keep sowing into the kingdom. But there's a lot of temptation. There's a lot of problems that come with different callings and different giftings. So perhaps a thought for your consideration is that God's love and protection are in the gifts he chose to give you. God's love and protection are in the gifts he chose to give you. Everybody is built and differently. Everybody has different strengths and weaknesses. And he knows them and he's given them to you. So if you're not sure, ask God to reveal it. Say, God, what are my strengths? What are my giftings? What have you called me to? Where should I walk? And then ask God to increase it. Say, God, increase it. Expand my influence. Expand my reach. But in the same breath, I say stuff like, God, only give me what I can handle. Now, you think that might be kind of confusing prayers to pray. But see, I don't believe so. I think if you are truly loving and serving God, and I'm like, God, give us increase. Give us, you know, increase this, increase our finances, increase the church, but give me what I can handle. Meaning, I never want to fall away from you because of something I couldn't handle. So God, if you know that thing that I'm praying for, I won't be able to handle it, then I ask you to protect me. I'm not saying, God, I'm not praying a general prayer, God, let it be your will. I'm not doing that. I'm saying, God, I'm praying for all of these things, but I never want to fall away from you for the sake of this. So if that will pull me away from you, then don't give it to me. That's giving God control in my life to say, move where you want to move. And I believe God will. I believe he'll increase your blessing. He'll increase your reach. He'll increase your standings, whatever that may be, whether it may be at work or in ministry or just people around you, whatever it might be. And the reason I pray those things is because when God blesses you, whatever area that might be, blessings are awesome. But when the brightness of the blessing blinds you to the blesser, it becomes a curse. You never want your blessing to become a curse because it's blinded you to who's blessing you. So the first step in seeing diamonds in your backyard is contentment. Contentment. Now, that doesn't mean that you lay on the couch all day and, you know, wait for the money to fall in your lap or wait for the job to fall in your lap. No, what contentment means you find peace in the process. Peace in the process. Romans 5 verse 3 says this. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Right there, I want to stop. I'm like, please, tribulations, perseverance, really. Keep going. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Do you know that a diamond is actually born under intense heat and pressure? Intense heat and pressure. You know, a diamond is basically carbon monoxide and coal. I think I have a picture of a diamond. We can put that up. That is what it looks like in its raw state. But it takes an extreme amount of heat and just the perfect amount of pressure to produce the diamond. See, you got to realize that your life is in the process just like this diamond. Don't run from the trials you're in. Don't run from the circumstances that you're facing. Don't run from the deserts and the valleys that you might feel like you're walking through. Because guess what? If you're in them and you're trusting God and you're using your faith and you're working that muscle and you're believing God, then you are going to grow more than you've ever imagined possible through it. You're going to become more, you're going to realize who you are more, and you're going to be stronger when you come out of it because you're submitting your ways to him, but you're allowing the process to refine you. God will use the heat and the process to refine you to the diamond that you're created to be. But don't quit. Don't quit. That's my second point. Don't quit. See, usually when the pressure becomes too much, people start wishing, man, I wish I had that person's life. Man, I see on Facebook, they've got it all going on. I wish I had that happening to me right now. Why does everything seem to be happening at the same time? I wish I had that. And they want to quit. And when I say don't quit, I know, you know, it sounds simple enough. You know, if you're in a good place right now, you're like, yay, don't quit. I'm not going to quit until the pressure hits. You know, when that person at work that just keeps talking badly about you and bad-mouthing you and putting you down and stealing your jobs from you, and you're like, you know, or that family member that's just creating strife, or somebody that's getting sick in your family, or whatever it might be. You know when the pressure's really on? Is when you want to run. When you want to run as far away as you possibly can, or when you want to curl up in the corner and cry until the storm passes. That's when you know you're in the process. That's when you know this is the pressure they were talking about. Because guess what? Everything in me kind of want to quit right now. You're in the process. That's the process we're talking about. And see, God will use that heat and that pressure to refine you. God doesn't cause the bad circumstances. Sometimes we cause them. Sometimes somebody else causes them. Sometimes the enemy causes them. Whatever the situation is, though, God will use that to refine you. Because there is a diamond inside of you. There's strength of character. There's hope. There's things he needs you to be, because he needs you to overcome so you can turn around and help somebody. Hey, you know what? I've gone through that. You can get through that. And every time you get through some little storm, you realize, whoa, I got through that. I'm stronger. So when the next thing comes, you're like, oh, I've been through this before. I can get through this. So don't quit. And number three is, it matters. And I want to talk just for a second about the story of Moses. Most people know the story. If you're unfamiliar with Bible stories, Pharaoh in Egypt, the Israelites were getting bigger and stronger, and they were slaves. And so he was making life harder and harder because they kept multiplying. And so he sent out a decree to kill all the newborn baby boys. And Moses' parents felt like, you know, we got to hide our baby and protect him. So they hid him for 3 months. Then they put him in this little basket bushel thing, and they put him on the Nile River and let him float down. And the Pharaoh's daughter was bathing, and she found him. And basically she raises him as her own child in the palace until he's 40 years old. When he's 40 years old, he gets mad. He sees a person beating up a Hebrew. And so he kills the guard, and then he flees for his life, and he goes and he spends the next 40 years out in the desert. And then God calls him when he's 80 years old to come and rescue the people out of Egypt. Do you know that God called Moses when he was 80, and he died when he was 120? So his whole ministry happened in the last third of his life. Don't think that you're too old for God to use you. Maybe your time hasn't even come yet. So don't discount what God's doing. But can you imagine for a moment, his parents rescued him. His parents maybe felt, maybe the Holy Spirit said to them, hide him. So his parents are like, well, man, we answered God's call. We're going to hide our kid. They hide their kid. The kid gets rescued. He's growing up in the palace. They know this is going to be our son. He's going to rescue all of Egypt. He's going to set us all free. And then he kills somebody and he gets exiled. What kind of disappointment did his parents go through? Thinking, wait a minute, what happened here? I thought we followed God. I thought he was going to be the savior to set us free, and now he's exiled. And you know, by the time God called him, he was 80 years old. There's a very good chance his parents were already dead. They were slaves in that time. They didn't have as long a life. So he comes back and he rescues and he saves all of Israel out of Egypt. But his parents never got to see what they actually did. See, what you're doing matters. Even if it's something small. You're thinking, oh, it doesn't matter what I'm doing. This is so small. What impact am I going to have? You know, I'm just taking care. I'm just working my little garden. I'm just taking care of one person. I'm just discipling one person. I just gave to help one person go through Bible college. I just prayed over that one person at work. You think, oh, it doesn't matter. It matters. What you do has eternal consequences. It matters. And God is building a house. The Bible talks about his kingdom, his spiritual home. Like every single person, we're his house. You know, and you might be a brick in God's house. You might get to be the big, shiny, clear window. Or you might just be the cement. But guess what? It all matters. It all matters to God. There's no correlation between size and significance in God's kingdom. No correlation. What does that mean? That means the janitor and the CEO both get the same reward. You might be the janitor in a company. You might be the CEO. You might be the pastor of the house. You might be cleaning the toilets. But if you're doing what God's asked you to do, if you're working in your gifting, your calling, and you're doing it with joy unto the Lord, with glory, and you're obeying and following God, guess what? When you get to heaven, you get the same reward. Same reward. Because as long as you do what God's asked you to do, you're all part of building his house. And it all matters to him. So God has placed people in your life because as you go through these refining processes and as you build your character and as you get stronger, you're able to help people around you. But don't stop and say, oh, well, you know what? I'm not perfect yet. I don't have it all together yet. I can't help anybody. No, you can help them right when you're in the storm. Because the more you start talking about, you know what, I'm in the storm, but I believe that God's going to do this, and God, you strengthen their faith. Because they're like, wow, you're believing in the midst of this? Yes. You're believing, you're like, man, I don't have it all together. I'm still struggling with this anxiety and depression, but I'm coming out of it. I'm believing that I have the peace of God, and I have the mind of Christ, and, you know, I whatever it is. You start speaking that. You start helping those around us. Watch how much stronger you get by helping somebody else. It's getting your eyes off yourself in a negative way and getting it onto somebody else in a positive way. You know, it's getting our eyes off our own insecurities, our own doubts, our own things that are going wrong and saying, you know what? No, I have something to be grateful for. The quickest way to get out of that feeling of insecurity and inadequacy is to say, I have something to be grateful for. If you have a job, that's something to be grateful for. If you have your health, that's something to be grateful for. If you have a friend, that is something to be grateful for. Just one person you can call friend, that is something to be grateful for. So the goal is to stop living with thinking that we're not enough, we don't have enough, because God has filled your life with diamonds. Your backyard is filled with diamonds. He has a future plan for you that you couldn't even begin to dream or imagine. It's so awesome. But until you begin to expand your vision, expand your horizon, expand your view and say, you know what, God, I'm going to stop limiting you because I've been limiting you because my own insecurities tell me I'm only this good. I can only do this much. Who says? Who says? You always look at these other people and you wonder, how did they get there? How did they get there? They just took the limits off. This God created the entire universe. That's who we serve. Every single thing he created. Yet we limit him and put him in this box and no, God, you can only act this way. You can only do this. You can only talk to me. You can only provide for me like this. Says who? He could give you one creative idea and change your whole life. He could lead you to one person that could have a business idea that could impact your whole life. See, if you have the Bible says if you desire God's heart, if you desire the kingdom, then you're following him. Then guess what? You're not going to have the prideful thoughts or the greedy thoughts. Your heart is going to stay aligned with him and he can bless you because he knows you can impact others. The more secure you are, the more blessed you are, the easier it is for you to help those around you. Because when you're constantly just praying every day, oh God, please help me pay my mortgage. God, please help me pay my rent. God, please, I need a new car. God, please. And that's great. He wants to help you. But when are you going to start praying? God, please give me the money so I can help that person buy their car. Lord, help bless me in this deal, Lord, so I can pay somebody's mortgages this month. Because that's the God we serve. You know what? The Bible says the goodness of God draws people to repentance. When you can start showing the people around you the goodness of God. Hey, you know what? I don't know, but God just told me to give you this $100. I hope it blesses you. Do you know what that person, how it'll change them? They'll be like, what? God knows what I'm going through. And I don't care who you are or how wealthy you are. I could use $100. Somebody walked up and gave me $100. I'm like, oh my God, thank you, Jesus. Because it's the goodness of God, right? And you think, oh, well, what's the big deal? Oh, because that's how it works. And sometimes money is the easiest thing we've got to show. So we got to get to a place where we realize I am filled with diamonds. I've got diamonds all around me. Have you seen my backyard? I have got so many diamonds around me. I have got success. I've got happiness. I've got health. You know, I've got an expectation that God's going to do more, that God's going to do greater. What else we got, Holy Spirit? Let's go. What can we do today, Holy Spirit? Who can we touch? Who can we love? Who can we show the love of God to? Who can we pray for as we walk through the hospital? Come on, Holy Spirit. What can we do today? Take your expectation higher, expand your vision, expand your dream, start seeing diamonds everywhere, start seeing diamonds inside of yourself. Be like, wow, who knew I had this strength inside of me? I can get through this, I can get through anything. Come over here, let me show you what my strength is. Start sharing it, start being positive, stop taking on that false humility that the world says, well, you know, I got my anxiety. Why don't you start saying, man, my peace of God is crazy. Like, I should be balled up in a corner crying, but I have this crazy piece of God. You want some of it? Seriously, I have had to use that line so many times this last year. I've told people come up to me like, how are you doing this? I'm like, you know what? It's called the grace of God. I don't think I actually understood it until now. When the grace of God and the Holy Spirit, I say this all the time, the Holy Spirit is carrying me. I said, I kind of feel like I'm living in a state of denial. Is that exactly what's going on here, Holy Spirit? No, it's when the Holy Spirit carries you, you're kind of like, huh. You're like looking down off his hand like, I should really be falling apart, but okay, Holy Spirit, this is cool. You got me. It's when you fully trust that there is a Holy Spirit living inside of you. And that's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. He dwells in you. That means the very life force, God has made his home in me. Which means what circumstances can hurt us? What can take us down? What can knock us off? I'm sorry, God's given me a calling and a destiny and nothing is going to stop it. And nothing is going to stand in its way because I choose to see the diamonds all around me. And that's what you have. You have diamonds in you and all around you. Well, go ahead and stand with me this morning and